Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
We're going to continue today in our On the Move series. But before we do that, I want to give you a sense of where we're going to be heading in the month of June. June, we're going to begin a series in Psalm 23. And we're going to spend 5 weeks walking through that psalm together. Because as we go into this season of transition, the Lord is our shepherd. And we have everything we need through him. And so we're going to spend time in that psalm together. And I would encourage you, as we get closer over the next couple weeks to June, to perhaps read Psalm 23. Read Psalm 23 with your friends, with your family. If you have children, read it with your children and discuss it and ask questions. It's full of great imagery and perspective. So I encourage you to be doing that. That's where we're going as of June 4th. Today we're going to wrap up our series On the Move. Doug spoke the last couple of weeks, and I'll be sharing today. But before we do that, we just have some news to share regarding transition. We have been endeavoring to keep you as up-to-date as possible as things progress, as we say farewell to Doug and Linda, but also as we move on into a new season. So far, as we've been moving into transition, we've assembled a discernment team or a pastoral transition team, and those people have been made up of members of our council as well as members of our congregation. We've also found an interim lead pastor in Fred Fulford. We announced that a number of weeks ago, and Fred just finished up, actually retired from Summit Pacific College, where he's been training pastors as leading the pastoral theology program. And Fred actually trained the majority of people on our team, so we have a great relationship with him, and he'll be coming in once a week to connect with our team and just mentor us a little bit and be here on Sundays and preaching occasionally as well. We just felt we needed some gray hair in the mix, and so Fred's going to be a part of that, and he's a great guy, so you'll get to know Fred and Mickey, his wife, soon. They're awesome people. The discernment team did meet this past week, which was their third meeting, and we got some news to share. Typically, the news from that team is going to be shared by the chair of the discernment team, and that is Lynn Gettle. She's great, but she's away this weekend, and so we felt it appropriate for me to share some news, and Ryan's sharing that at Willoughby to keep you in the loop. So as Doug previously shared, and what we learned more at our annual general meeting, is that our discernment team is being assisted by our district and by our district superintendent, Ken Russell. And the district brings a wealth of experience in these kinds of matters, as well as a transition manual of sorts, which we can adopt and then adapt as needed. One of the early steps when we move into transition as a community in the search for a new lead pastor is deciding which direction to go. And there's three sort of directions for a church like us. We can go an internal route where we would look for a new lead pastor already functioning inside the church on our team. We can look to the external route, which would be to look for a lead pastor somewhere else, not connected to the Living Waters community. Or we can do a hybrid of the two, which is where we consider perhaps people in our pastoral team and consider applicants from outside. So after a lot of thought and conversation and obviously a lot of prayer, the discernment team has chosen to move to the external option. And let me share a little bit of how we came to that decision. So very early on after Doug's resignation, we sat down, he, Ryan, and myself, and he talked with us as associate pastors and asked us to begin to pray about our next steps, our particular callings, and our callings to Living Waters. And once our council met with Ken, our district superintendent, and once the discernment team was being formed, it became clear that should Ryan or myself feel called to be involved in the process to be the next lead pastor, that there would be openness to that by the discernment team and by the council. But after thought and prayer, both Ryan and I feel that we don't wish to enter that process. both of us feel, along with our wives, that the time is not right for us to step into the role like that. And that's there's a lot of reasons for both of us on either side there. And I can't get into all of those reasons, but one of the main reasons is that both of us very much feel called and enjoy the current roles that we are already in. And we want the best possible option for Living Waters going forward into a new season. Not necessarily just the obvious one. The best possible option. And so each of us, hear this, are as committed and as in love with and passionate about this church as we have ever been. We're not going anywhere. And in fact, this has really got a lot to do with why we are so committed to the church, because we know who we are and we know what we're called to do and how we're called to serve. And we're happy to do that, especially in the transition period, as we will obviously be assuming a lot of Doug's responsibilities. So it's important for you to know, really important to know, that the discernment team and council were very much open to whatever God might say or how he might speak to our team. And so we weren't overlooked or in any way, but we were involved from the very outset. And for that, I think we're just really thankful to be a part of a healthy community. And that means now that Ryan and myself can join the discernment team. And so we've got this really cool mix of council members, of members of our congregation, and our pastoral team all sitting together, thinking, discussing, and praying, and working through the process in a healthy way together. And that's great, because that's not necessarily the case in every community. You have that kind of unity in leadership. It's fantastic. I want to remind our community of something that Doug has been saying over the last couple of weeks. It's one of the best things I've heard him say probably in 11 years. It's weird that it's coming at the end. I wish it was a little earlier, but he's been saying this: transition isn't happening to us, but for us and through us. Transition isn't happening to us, it's happening for us and through us. And so as the discernment team and the council moves to an external process where we're going to be developing a pastoral profile and we'll be collecting congregational insight and eventually to an application process, you can rest assured that everybody involved wants what's best for Living Waters. We're all on the same team in that way. We want the best possible option for our community. And we are committed to praying and thinking and doing the hard work to discover who God has for us in that role. So I'd really echo what Doug said last week and encourage you to pray and to get involved, to be engaged when you're asked to engage, and to share your voice when you're asked to share your voice, and to really stand behind our team as we do this. Because as you've heard me say many times over the years, we are not a supermarket. We are a community garden. And this is the time to roll up our sleeves and to do the work together and to be the community that we really know that we are. So that's a bit of an update for you as we move into a season that is new and exciting for us, and we will continue to keep you updated as we move along in that process. So we're in week three of On the Move today, and so far we have heard Doug share in the first week about new things. And Doug used the image there of old wineskins and new wine, really speaking to the reality of change and moving forward and knowing that what was good for the past might not necessarily but is what God has for the future. And so as we move into a new season of a church, that we are open to God's change and God's new wine, God's new way forward for us. And I thought that it was fantastic. And week two, Doug spent the majority of time talking about unity and harmony. He gave that great picture of how a choir sings together or an orchestra works together, not out of sync, but actually all in tune together, creating this beautiful, beautiful sound. And so some of the ways that we can work together in unity, Doug shared quite honestly. He said, first of all, we can stay. That when Doug and Linda move on, we don't have to move on. We can stay. We can commit to our community. He talked about the fact that we can engage through prayer, that we can be patient, that we can be positive, that we can be faithful, and that we can rejoice. That we can rejoice at what God has done in the past and be happy about that, but we can also expect and rejoice at what God might do in the future. So as Doug had been sharing some of what he had been about new things, and had he been sharing things about unity and harmony, and as I was listening, it began to remind me of Philippians, which we were in not that long ago as a community, and a couple of passages in Philippians that I think would be helpful for us as we go into this season together. It reminded me of Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 2, where Paul says this: "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and one purpose." When you read through and think about the letter that Paul writes to the Philippians, the theme of church unity might come to mind. And really, that's because the theme of humility is central in the letter to the Philippians. Of course, in the letter of Philippians, if you're flipping through, you'll notice there's that great poem about Jesus that perhaps was an early church hymn, where Jesus' humility shows us God's love. And Paul then encourages the Philippians to embody that same attitude. He says, "Therefore, because Jesus acted in such a way, may you embody that same attitude of Christ and live that out in your lives." And so there's this theme of humility, which naturally leads to an outworking of unity in the church. Unity is not possible in a community without humility. And in part, I can maybe speak from a little experience I've been around here for a while, is that's why we actually experience such great unity here. It's because of the humility of our leadership. And I can see that and speak for that, Doug and Linda. They've walked in humility, and that has spread throughout our community, which is awesome. Another huge theme found in the letter, though, not just humility and unity, but in the and actually in the New Testament in general, is also change. Change is a theme in the letter, because change and growth and adaptation is very much central to what it means to be the church, and what it means, really, to be a part of God's good universe. Doug talked about how we see in creation this great sense of unity. And we also see in creation this great sense of change. And we were singing about that just a little bit earlier as our team was leading us. We were singing, "The whole earth is filled with your glory," or "filled with your representation." And then we sang, "Your love is alive." There's this this reality of adaptation, of change, of life, of moving on, not stagnation, not stillness, but actually movement. Now, of course, some things don't change. We know that God's character doesn't change, and we can trust his character. And we know that the mission of the church, the mission of God's people, doesn't change, which is to allow God's kingdom to come into fullness in our lives and through our lives. But in the unchanging mission of the church, we were never meant to stand still. And when things stand still, when they don't change or they don't grow, eventually they die. And the church is about life. The church isn't about death. And so inherently, in a way, the church is always about change, not stagnation. And that's exactly why Doug has been saying what he's been saying, that transition is not happening to us, it's happening for us and through us, because the church is always on the move, because living things are on the move. They're growing, they're adapting, they're changing. Paul gets this, and after he gives us this humility poem about Jesus, in verses 12 and 13 of chapter 2, he kind of shows us this. Paul himself is always on the move. He's a church planter and missionary, and so he's moving around consistently. And he understands that the church is going to be full of good change, because it's supposed to grow and supposed to adapt. It's supposed to affect. But through the letter to the Philippians, what we get is some really cool insight into what happens when a community goes through healthy change. Sometimes there's negative change, and then we see shrapnel. But sometimes there's healthy progression, there's healthy change, there's healthy growth. And Paul speaks to this in his experience of what he hopes would happen in a community when the community experiences change, particularly if good leaders are moving on. And so what we're going to look at here is just verse 12 and 13, and then three reminders of what happens when a good leader moves on. Let me read the text for us first. Paul says this in verse 12, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you and giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." So, three things we can pull out of that, three reminders of what happens when a good leader moves on. First, the work continues. The mission moves on. It keeps happening. Why? Why is that? Well, first of all, it's kind of just the way God does things. It's because the work moves on because the leader isn't there to do the work. The people that the leader has shown, has taught, has instructed are now there to do the work. And we see this in the life of Jesus. He comes amongst us and demonstrates and shows us how to be human, passes that on to his disciples, and they then pass it on to other people. There's this great passing on. We talked this through a few weeks ago. We see this in the life of Paul as well. And so the leader isn't there to do the work. Those who the leader has shown and demonstrated must now take up that work. And that's not a huge mental leap. That's really just logic. If the leader's not there to do the lifting, then we do. We do the lifting. And that's a good and natural and gospel thing to occur. A second reason why the work continues is if the work doesn't continue after the leader goes, then what's been the point of all of the work of the leader? If everything falls apart once the leader moves on to do something new or different or affect change in a different way and things crumble, then what's the point? And you can imagine for a leader like Paul that it was so important for him to know that the work would continue, the gospel would continue to grow, that the churches that he planted would somehow get healthier after he moves on. Often that wasn't the case for him. He would hear of all kinds of problems in the churches that he planted, but in Philippi, they had this great friendship, and they were really taking the gospel seriously, and they were really honoring the instruction that had been passed on to them by Paul, and they were living in a great way. And that's why he continues to give them this encouragement, where he says in verses 1 and 2, "Make me truly happy. Make me truly happy by living the way that I taught you to live." You know, I think the work is created for us when a leader moves on, but in a sense, that can often mean that the quality, that the life, the essence, and the goodness of the community can actually be raised to another level when a leader moves on. I saw this just last week. So Living Waters has a couple of sports teams. We have a softball team, and we also have a soccer team, and our soccer team, I'm not going to lie to you, we're ripping up the Church League third division right now. We're pretty good, and we look pretty good in shorts too. And not all of us, but last week we had this game and a whole bunch of players were missing, and we didn't even know if we would necessarily have enough to start to have a full team on the field. And to be honest, like, you know, four or five of our best players weren't there. And so as the game was about to begin, I was sort of warming up with the team, and I was looking over at the other team, and they looked kind of good, and I thought to myself, you know, this might be the game that we lose because we're missing, you know, these key leaders. And then we went out there and played the best game of soccer that we have all season, because the game was raised. Everybody realized that we now have to do the work. We now have to embody and be the team that we know we can be. And it was awesome. We won 4-0, beat a whole bunch of old dudes. It was great. It was a blast. The work has to continue. That's the first reminder. It's meant to continue. That's the whole point. The last thing that God wants, the last thing that a leader wants, is to move on and and everything stops. So the first thing in a healthy community, when a good leader moves on, is the work actually continues. And in fact, it actually can improve, which is great. Second is to remember that it is about obedience over instruction at the end of the day. It's about obedience over instruction. So Paul's instruction to the Philippians when he was with them was not just about what he had to say. Ultimately, he was showing the Philippians how to obey God. And so following a good leader is never ultimately about just following the instructions of the leader. It's actually about following those instructions, but behind that is the obedience to God. And so just because a leader isn't present to bring instruction does not mean we stop obeying God. In fact, the instruction has always been to show us how to obey God. And when a good leader moves on, as in the case of the Philippian church, and I would argue as in the case of Living Waters, we are not lacking in instruction. And each of us knows how to obey God. And so we remember when Paul says, you followed my instructions, but remember ultimately this is about obeying God. Work hard and show the results of your salvation, obeying God with everything you've got. In my absence, obey, even if my immediate instruction isn't right there in front of your face all the time. So the first, the work continues. The second is that it's about obedience ultimately to God and not just to one person. And third, we can remember that God does the heavy lifting. Paul says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He doesn't say, for I, Paul, am working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He says, for God is working in you. Following Jesus, we talk about this all the time, is all about participation. It's all about doing the work of Jesus alongside of him and others. But when a leader moves on, it can be genuinely scary. Because you wonder, who's going to do that heavy lifting? Who's going to show us the right way? And can we trust us in the direction that we're being led in as we go to the future? But it's vital to remember what Paul always had in mind. Paul did not have a Messiah complex. The genuinely humble man. And he understood that ultimately it was not the leader that did the heavy lifting. It was not the leader that did the transformation or the empowering of the Spirit. That is God's work. And God continues to do that in healthy communities, even when good leaders move on. The God of life, the God of change, and the God of growth is working in us, for us, and through us. He's done it before, and he will do it again. So those are three considerations out of Philippians. The work continues. We can obey God through that work and trust that ultimately he's going to do the heavy lifting. He's the one who's going to empower and instruct us as we go forward. We've run out of time, so let me just say this before we close in prayer. As our team has been kind of processing Doug and Linda moving on, and as we've had conversations in our council and just, even one-on-ones, I really have a sense, as does our team, and as Doug and Linda, they're convinced of this, I really have a sense that our best days are ahead of us, that there is more for us to do. And I don't just mean that somehow, we're going to plant more churches or we're going to get bigger as a church, though that may be the case. I really feel that we're moving into a season of depth, of really understanding what it means to embody the character of Jesus, to take on that attitude as Paul talked about, and to see the fruit of the Spirit evidence itself in new ways that we've never seen before. I really do have a sense that there is something better down the road, that our best days are perhaps ahead of us. So as we go into this season, I want you to know that we're with you, that we're together in this, we're hopeful, and we have great expectancy of what God is gonna get up to. So why don't we stand together and let me pray for us as we close. Father, we thank you for friendship. We thank you for relationships. We thank you for the good things that you have done in our community, even this week. And as we look into this next week, we pray that you would bless us as we walk out into it. We pray for those in the room who are downcast or are sick. We pray for those who are in great need of your Spirit this week to uphold them, to give them the power and the will to live as you intend. And we pray, Jesus, that you would bless those who need a blessing today. And so we go into this week with open hands, Jesus, and pray that you'd fill us with your Spirit. Give us everything we need to do what you've called us to do, wherever we go, into our homes, into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces. We thank you, Jesus, for this day. Pray you bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Enjoy the sunshine.